verse 13. And it says, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. We are looking at the title for God, Jehovah Mekodeshkim, or the God that sanctifies. If you have last week's notes, it may say on the top, the jealous God. That is a typo. Mekodeshkim is the God who sanctifies. And that is what he does. He pulls people apart from the crowd. You have to remember that when he made Adam and Eve and put them in the garden, we had a pure and perfect and well-working relationship with God. When sin entered into the world, it got complicated. Not only was there great insult done to God in that we wanted to ascend to his level and be as he is, and we didn't trust him, and we would take this fruit that he said would kill us, and then that's exactly what happened. We learned how to sin. We got desires, and those things that we desire are often those things that seek to kill us, and eventually over time or illness, we lose our lives to the effects of sin. We were at one time one with God. But then what happened? We separated from him by our own choice. And in that separation, we heaped upon ourselves new ideas, destructive ideas. Right? That when we see people hurting out there, they are not hurting because the idea of humanism is working. They are hurting because we have worked our will against God to get power, to get money, to get ahead, to get whatever it is that we're looking for. When we go over and we see in certain parts of the world where you've got many different militaries working against each other all over the same land, that is not God's will. That is not the way we're supposed to be doing things. When we look to see people who are starving, people who are struggling, people who are being cheated out of the way to live, that is not God's will. That is our will. When you go down to the grocery store and you're shopping through and you're seeing the prices of things, that is not God's will. It is not his will for people to sit there and be deciding whether or not. Remember back when $100 worth of groceries was two or three trips? I could probably hold $100 of groceries in one hand. I'm not talking about in one hand, but bagged up. I could probably carry it in on one hand nowadays. And that's wrong, right? It's wrong that the farmers would have to pay so much to produce it. It is wrong that once they sell it, that's jacked up the way that it is. It is wrong. And it seems like so many people are struggling and suffering. Why? So that others can have their will, their way, their power, their money, what they want. And God says that to those people that denied him and forgot him and made gods to themselves, what did he say he did to them? He gave them up to a reprobate mind. But we see that through the Old Testament, certain men received grace. One of them being, according to this, one of them being Moses. And then, of course, the other one, come, bring my people out. The other one, of course, being Abram. Abram, leave these people and come out, and I will establish within you a lineage, a heritage. He sanctified them out, pulled them out special to bless them and build within them. We looked all last week how he sanctified and built the Israelite nation. Why? Because it was his plan from the seed of Abraham, from the lineage of David, to bring forth the Messiah. And once he did so, now we see what we'll look at this morning, our sanctification. I believe we started it last week with 1 Corinthians 6:11. And 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We were in that same reprobate mind. We were in that same chasing whatever feels good mindset. And when we fall back into sin or we maintain sin, we stay in that mindset. And we need to be aware that we are in that mindset. Why? Because we ought not be in that mindset. Because according to this, we have been washed. We've been washed clean of it. We no longer need those things to feel good. Will they still make you feel good? Yeah, that's kind of the problem. But you don't need it to feel good. You don't need it to entertain yourself. We understand the dangers inherent in those things, and we say, no, we know why lying is bad. We know why hitting people is bad. We know why cheating from people and stealing from people, we know why that's bad. We understand that. We understand that we don't need to do terrible things to get what we need because God will supply all of our need. We have been forgiven. We have been washed from those sins. And every now and then we need to be washed again. I remember when we brought Hans home, man, I tell you what, he smelled like a shelter animal, which is slightly better than smelling like a dog that's been outside. But I remember hosing him down and washing him, scrubbing him all out, all the dirt and all the stuff just coming out of him. They took care of him good, but you know how it is, you know, when you've got like 100 dogs to take care of, it's just hard. But I just had the one, so I was giving him a bath. Last night he crawled up into the bed. He's not allowed in the bed. But I was just kind of sitting there getting ready to turn the lights off and getting everything situated. Crawled up into the bed and he just kind of laid his head on me. And oh, dog, what's wrong with you? Oh, no, it's time for another bath. Right? So every now and then you need to get rewashed. Not that you need to be resaved, but that you've gotten back into the mud in the backyard and you ought not to have. We have been washed. There's no reason for us to go back to those beggarly elements. We've been sanctified, set apart. Hey, listen, you don't walk that way anymore. You don't go over there anymore. Right? You belong here. This is where, could you imagine if every now and then I just skipped church and went down to Flat Rock? I'd get me in trouble, wouldn't it? Not just with you, but like Brother Hugo don't have a thing or two to say. Right? We don't go there anymore. You're over here. Okay? But how much more worse is it when we turn back to our sin, when we have been sanctified, when we try to have the best of both worlds? I want to fit in with the world, but I want God's love. Listen, the only thing you get from riding the fence is split jeans. It don't work. Instead, we must be sanctified. We must be glad for the justification that's been done upon us, that we have been washed clean and made pure again. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And we talked about that. We are split into three parts. You have, of course, your body, you have your soul, and you have your spirit. Your spirit is your mind. Your mind will come and go. As different illnesses and different things affect your mind, as age affects your mind, your spirit will slowly change one way or the other. Could go good, could go bad, but our spirit is a very fluid thing. Now, that is one of the big issues we have today, is we try to cement our spirit or cement our character as though it is some kind of television or book character. That's not who we are. And you've got these kids that has been impressed upon them to decide who they are, to figure out who they are, and there's a lot of pressure on them to define themselves. That is sin. That is where the stress comes from. That's where the anxiety comes from. Right? Listen, I am not a cranky person by nature, but if I'm not careful, I could become a crank. I could do cranky things. Does that make sense? You may not be slothful in nature, but over time you may develop some very slothful tendencies. It is all about what we want to do in the minute. It is all about what discipline we have over ourselves. But we are not stuck the way we are. We think that we've stumbled across a brand new philosophy and thinking that what we've got to do is we've got to define the characteristics of the person, and we can define the person, and therefore they don't have to be responsible for what they do. They just they have a problem. That's what it is. It is part of their character. It's a part of what they are. No, we are fluid. One of the biggest songs of the people in my generation is what? Well, my mom and dad messed me up. My mom and dad messed me up. My mom and dad messed me up. The moment you realize that a behavior pattern is wrong, it is now up to you to change it. Nobody forces you to be anything. Now, I get it. If you are harsh and abusive and terrible to your kids, there will be lasting effects. But rest assured, I've tried it out. You don't have to do those things. You can surrender those bad behaviors you developed from the poor treatment upon you. You can apply forgiveness. You can apply wisdom. You can make a change. None of us are stuck the way we are. I know there's some physical structures of the brain you can't pray away. Maybe the Lord will heal it, but whatever have you. But for the most part, when it comes down to our spirit, that can change. And that's what we need to be praying for. Lord, sanctify my spirit. Set it apart. Make it different. Cleanse it. Make it right. And then the soul, that's easy enough. That's salvation. Set apart my body unto salvation, or my soul unto salvation. That's what it is. I am no longer lost. I'm no longer going down the broad way, but you have put me upon the narrow way. Pulled apart and kept safe for a purpose. And it says that my body should be sanctified as well. This is where I get a bit guilty because I don't exactly feel as though my body is as sanctified as it should be. And perhaps you could say the same. I was talking to somebody quite recently. We were just kind of talking about that. Well, why would you say that drugs or alcohol or things like that, why would you say that that's bad? Because your body ought to be sanctified. And I'd say the same thing about gluttony, right? Your body ought to be sanctified, right? And it is a pain for me to talk about that, but while I'm preaching on sin, you got to know I preach on mine. All right, this is a purpose. Lord, please set me apart from what the rest of the world does. Lord, set me apart from destructive behavior. And instead, Lord, please pull me aside and spirit, soul, and body make me sanctified. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now listen, we cannot just be counterculture for the sake of being counterculture. I can't look over at the world and say, well, you know, I see a lot of people wearing warm woolen hats this winter. So you know what? I'm not going to be like the world. I'm not going to wear a warm woolen hat. And for a while, that sounds like a joke, but for a while, that's been kind of our attitude. I had to have another conversation with somebody about beards. Well, it ain't biblical. Really? Well, have you talked to Jesus about that? The Bible says it plucked the hair out of his chin. And what did David tell those men to stay away until they had grown back again? Their beards. Well, I'm just saying it's not very biblical. There was a sermon I heard one time. The pastor was, I don't have them. The pastor was preaching against wire-rimmed glasses. Yeah, wire-rimmed glasses because they're worldly style. That's not what sanctification means. I don't just look over what the world is doing and say, I'm not going to do it because I hate the world. No, you've got to look at what this verse says, where it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So where do I set myself apart? I set myself apart by following God. I should never be looking over at the world going, oh, all right, well, they're wearing that, so therefore I'll never wear that, right? Somebody said, well, you know, just if you see a big movement in it, we ought not do that anymore. You know what I mean? Like they talk about the rainbow flags that people wave around. Oh, well, yeah, we should never have the rainbow on anything. No, the Lord gave us that as a promise. You can't have that. You can't take that from us, right? How about being happy in church services? Right? We can't sit there and get too excited during church services because then we'll look Pentecostal. I made that joke this morning. I don't want to look Pentecostal. No, joy belongs to God's people. You can't just trademark that over to somebody and be like, now I'm going to show up to church bored out of my mind looking. I've been to some churches, it almost kind of looked like you were attending a funeral. And it was Sunday morning services. The preacher's up, he's preached about the love of God and the grace of God and how glad we need to be that we've got it. And you just saw a bunch of men sitting there doing their best impressions of a buzzard. Not bored, but so severe in their attitude, you would think we were meeting over dropping a nuclear bomb. That's not what we ought to be doing. If I follow the Word of God, that is all the separation I need. You understand? We can't do the stuff that many people do today. Oh, well, you see how they sing a song? Well, we don't like them, so we won't sing a song. Now, listen, if God says worship me in a certain way, we worship Him in that way, and we don't have to try to be separate. We'll be separate. Because there's something about doing things God's way that the inner sinner does not want to have anything to do with. So if they're fake, you'll see what they're doing. If they're not serious, you'll see them step away from it. Well, hey, how come you guys have such short sermons? Well, you know, it's important for us to be inclusive. We want to make sure everybody's comfortable. So we figure, you know, a lot of people attend more if we have shorter sermons and a bigger song service, and we figure it's all the same. No, the purpose of getting together is absolutely to worship. We cannot neglect worship. As a matter of fact, I wish Baptists were a whole lot better at worship. There's some non-denominational churches out there, and there's some Pentecostal churches out there that worship in ways I think we could learn from. Not all their ways, but there's happiness and a joy in their worship. I wish us Baptists could touch. You know, I wish we could get closer to. However, we cannot neglect the entire Word of God. We cannot diminish the Word of God. And we cannot look over and see what these other places are doing and refuse to obey God in them. Our job is simple. It is difficult to look around and say, okay, you see how they're doing it? Let's not do that because they're doing it. And you see what they're doing? Let's not do that because they're doing it. And you see another church like us, they're doing this, so that's the only thing we're allowed to do. No, we don't have, that's too much work. The simplicity is the truth, the Word. I follow the Word. David, when he prays with his whole body and his whole heart, didn't he? We look at the things he wrote in the book of Psalms. He wrenched his heart out in his worship-filled songs. So should we. All right? When it came down to truth, very same here. We see that the men that walked with God, what do you say? Thy word is truth. They understood the value. They understood the dire importance of the Word of God. And folks, that must be what we use to map out and what we do to make decisions on how we behave in church. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy. So you'll know how to behave in church. So we know how to behave in church. So we know how to behave in life. You know, when we see through and we see these great men and women of God and in the rejoicing, is there any of that in your personal life? If we follow the letter of the book, we will automatically be set apart. Because the fakers and the liars and the people in it for money, they're not going to do that stuff. They're not going to follow after. Why is it that the people served God in the Old and New Testaments? Because they loved God and they see no other purpose for their lives better than that. Whether they had jobs, whether they had roots and ties and families, or whether they had the ability to lay it all aside and go out and be missionaries. They gave every part of their lives, and some of it gave the physical aspect of their lives as well. They died for Christ. And we too must follow God's word if we are to be sanctified, if we are to be separate. Not everybody who just does things differently, right? That seems to be always been the attitude. Be different. Well, I already am different. And then when people catch up to you and you're like, oh, I guess I got to be a different kind of different. No, all I've got to do is follow the word of God. And I will be set apart from the rest of this world. Again, the purpose isn't for me to be without them. The purpose isn't for me to be against them. The purpose is for me to be wholly on God's side, to follow after Him. And the side effect, is separation. The side effect is that my life won't look like their life. It is not the goal to be better. It is not the goal to be pride yourself on standing above. It is the goal to realize the differences between what you're doing and what God wants you to do, and you to seal the gap. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? Not conformed. Again, the purpose isn't just nonconformity, but it is also, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That I am supposed to be transformed by this book. Well, Matt, you never used to do that. Now all of a sudden you're doing that. You never used to bring your Bible to school. Now what's the deal? Hey, Matt, now listen, you used to be a hard time about this. You used to disobey like that. What's going on? You know, many of you have got that testimony. You used to come down to the bar with us. Now you don't come down no more. What happened? I was transformed. I understood the vanity of what I was doing. I understood the sin of what I was doing. And I understood what it costs, and I understood who it costs. And I decided not to do that anymore. I have been transformed. And what does it say? By the renewing. At one point, this world, at one point, 110%, you're sure it was just Adam and Eve, but 100% of mankind followed and loved God. We need a renewal. Right? It is a re-gripping of the bat, so to say, a readjusting into the seat. It is us going back again and reminding ourselves and proving again everything and in everything that we do, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I told somebody quite recently, well, I tell you what, you stand where you stand, I'll stand where God tells me to stand. And we'll see how this shakes out. And that's the truth. If you can look in the Bible and say, this is what I should be doing, and you know for a fact that that is what you should be doing, you stick with it. It doesn't matter what other people say, you stick with it. If you've got sin, you confess it, you make it right. You grip a hold of the Word of God, follow it true. And if other people sit there and say, well, I don't think that's right, I don't think that's right, in time, you'll see. In time, you'll see. Because there's a difference in the lives of people who seek to obey God and those people who want to do things their way. And we got to make sure we're not being pompous or arrogant. We got to make sure that we're following the will of God and understand that that doesn't make us better. It's just the sensible thing to do. Anybody here, you put shoes on this morning? Why'd you do that? Because you are more supremely intelligent than people who don't wear shoes? No, because you understand that it hurts to walk around without shoes, and you figure you do the smart thing and put a pair of shoes on today, right? It doesn't make you hyper-intelligent. It just means you got some common sense. Some people, they follow God. They think that means something impressive about themselves. It doesn't. It's literally the only option. You want to breathe air, or do you want to breathe air? You want to obey God, or do you want to deal with the consequences of not? We are to be proving in our lifestyles. Well, gee, you keep doing that, and I'd have thought that you'd fail. You keep doing that, and I'd have thought that you'd stop doing that by now. I knew of somebody who gave that testimony that somebody had told him, well, you know what? You'll be back. You'll be back hanging out with us at the bar. You'll be back hanging out with us with over here and doing this and doing that. Oh, you'll be back with us. And the person never went back. They never turned against God. They just kept following him. And they met that same friend years later, and that friend said, I really thought you'd have come back by now. I really thought you weren't going to be serious. And you look over at that person's life, and they're holding a steady job now where they weren't before, and they're being responsible to their wife and their kids in the way that they weren't before, and they were standing up and doing good things in the community, and they were advancing in the work that they were doing, and they were being a blessing to their church. We prove through the obedience to God just how good God is. And that should be a part of why we're not conformed, but transformed. Point number three here in our notes, and we'll do this quickly. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We sanctify God in our hearts. We set him apart. Listen, I got things I like, and you got things you like. We've all got hobbies we deeply enjoy, right? And that's good. You know what? We might not always agree on different hobbies. You know, Brother Bill, he likes to go bear hunting. I'm not entirely sure I'd be able to do that. You know what I mean? It scares me a little bit. What am I gonna? All I know is this, is I'd probably wander across some cubs and Mama would get the drop on me. That's how I think it would end for me. I'm sure a regular man could do it all day. Me, I'm going to find a baby bear cub and Mama's going to take me out and that'll be it. I'm going to be hanging on Mama Bear's wall. Some of you like gardening. I like gardening too, but I don't always have the patience to wait. I'll sit there. Every time we've planted something, I've gone out almost every morning. Sit there. I know I can't pull that tomato off yet, but you know what I want to do? I'm going to pull that tomato off. We've all got different things that bring us joy and make us happy, and that's wonderful. But above all and on top of everything must be God. And I promise you, it'll make everything that you do love sweeter. It'll make everything you do love better. If you put God sanctified, pull him apart in your life and put him first and foremost, pulling him out of the pack of all the things you like. You ever find yourself with a free afternoon? We did that. What was that for the wedding shower we did? Had that service right after. Now I'm sitting there going, well, what do I do with all this daylight? And I'm sitting there and we're talking. We're like, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this. Right? Isn't that fun? When you got to pick between your favorite things to go do, you all of a sudden you've got some free time and there's about four or five different things you'd like to do. That's nice. God needs to be above and first and foremost above that list. You understand? If you're arguing between two ideas, God shouldn't be one of them. If you're trying to decide what your priorities are between one thing or another, God better not be a part of any of those decisions. He should just automatically come first. Well, when will I have time? Man, I put God first. I'm out here because I put God first. I still have time for recreation on top of all the stuff that I've got to do. Between being a pastor and being a dad, there's still a plenty of time. You know, I sit there, I try to take at least one day off. One day off from doing stuff. Right? You still got to do stuff around the house. Still got to take care of the kids. But I try to give myself Mondays. Man, I live in that Monday. I'll go for a walk, I'll go do this, I'll go check this out over here, and we do that. But we got to handle our responsibilities first. We got to handle our responsibilities to the Lord first and foremost in all things. And it looks like this: you want to go to work, go to work. But pray before you go. You want to solve a problem while you're at work, you go ahead and solve a problem while you're at work, but ask God for help. You want a raise, you want a promotion, you want something at work? Give it to the Lord. Say, hey, Lord, I'll bless you with this. Lord, I'll praise you in this. Lord, would you help me have this? That's what it looks like. No one's being asked not to go to work. You want to have recreation? You want to go out on a boat? You want to go on a camping trip? You want to go over here and check this out? Hey, go ahead. But make sure you're honoring God through and throughout. Make sure that God comes first in what you're doing. And he'll bless everything else you want to do. He's not going to take away vacations. He's not going to take away your ability to provide for your family or take care of yourself. He's not going to rob you of those things. He's going to make them better. John 10:27 says this: my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, there's a lot of people who've told me to do a lot of things. I don't listen to them. Well, I tell you what you ought to do, and I know I got to be done here, but somebody hit me with this: Matt, you ought to try that gentle parenting. I said, I do. With one of them. No, I'm kidding. Well, what does that entail? Well, instead of telling them that what they did was wrong, try to frame it in a way that they did something right, but they could make an even better decision. You want me to lie to them? Well, no, it's not lying. Well, if what they did was wrong, you know, let's say one of my kids, Melody, goes over to another one of my kids, Xander, and smacks him right in the face. You're saying that I can't tell her that that's wrong? Well, no, it'll damage her psyche. But if I look at the Bible, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, take that child aside. Explain what is right. Explain what is wrong. And if need be, use the rod. So you know what I do? All right, now listen. You're not allowed to hit. Okay? Okay. Now this is the punishment for hitting. You understand? Okay. The next time you go to hit your brother, I want you to remember this punishment. Understand that when you do that, this is what will happen. Okay? Okay. Then I'll do this. Now, Xander, come here. Yeah. What do we say to Xander? Sorry. Xander, what do you say? Oh, I forgive you. And boom. Now, that's the Bible principle of it. I'm not Dr. Spock over here. It's just what the Bible says to do. Announce what's wrong, punish what is wrong, and make reconciliation, right? My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. If I'm sanctifying God to my heart, I am looking and listening for that voice. And again, I'm sorry to go for so long, but I want to just make this point. When my mom was raising us kids, she pulled me aside. And she said, I want you to memorize the sound of my voice so that the next time I call you, you know it's me. Because you know what we would do? We did what you did and what your kids probably did. Oh, sorry, Mom, I didn't know that was you. You didn't know that was your name? Well, there's a lot of kids named Matt. Come here, smart aleck. You memorized my voice. And that's what it is. My mom's voice was sanctified in my heart. My dad's voice was sanctified in my heart. So if I heard it, what do you need? What do you need? Right? We need to do the same for God. So that when I hear his voice in this book, I do what he says. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, please bless us today. Lord, please help us. We're so grateful that you would take care of us, so grateful you'd be so patient with us. But Lord, I humbly ask this, that you help us to take care of your things. You help us, Lord, to be sanctified and set apart. Help us, Lord, not to long for things that would hurt us, but Father, long for the things you've given to us through your book. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.